Well, we would appreciate an interest in your prayers this morning. We've been praying through the week, asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have us to bring on Sunday? We've been studying for quite some time about the temple and the types and shadows involved in that, and the temple worship some. And this morning, I'm not really far from that, but I want to think a little bit about the mind of God this morning. We can only take in a little bit of the things of God, can't we? We're mortal. Our mind is very limited compared to God's mind. We really feel accomplished as humans when we understand something He designed and made, when we understand part of it, like the human body or part of the universe or how something works, or we feel really accomplished as people, don't we? And so I want to look a little more into the mind of the Lord this morning, because I think there's some things the Lord wants to teach us and show us that I believe will be a real blessing to us. You know, when Lazarus was sick and Jesus came to them, He knew He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus died before He got there, and even before He left to go there, I think. And, you know, when Jesus went and those around there were weeping and praying and or weeping anyway, and Jesus, it says, wept. You know, that's a part of understanding the mind of the Lord that's really important for us this morning. The scripture we mentioned a while ago says something to the effect that He would keep us as the apple of His eye, that we would be kept like that. I want us this morning, I would that God would open our hearts to understand a little more of the mind of God. You know, when somebody gets married, they tell each other all these things, how they love each other and all this, and they don't quit doing that, hopefully. It wouldn't work well to say that at the marriage and say, well, I told her. You know, 20 years later, I told her I loved her. You know, there's a lot in between there, isn't there? And so this morning, we understand one another's love by how it's portrayed, don't we? And I would that we could enlarge our hearts this morning to understand a little more of the mind of God toward His people. He had them build that temple. They built that temple for Him to be there. He loved those people. God loved those people. He longed for those people to love Him. That was in His heart. From the very beginning, when he made a covenant with Abraham that He would be with his posterity, that was in the heart of God and in the mind of God. Well, you know, we're children of Abraham if we're saved, aren't we, this morning? But I want to look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. And if you can, turn there with me, because it's got some things there that I think are enlightening to us if we really understand them. This verse gets quoted very often. I've heard it quoted so many times. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now we could say on a grand scale that that's true, isn't it? That God has prepared for us an eternity and all those things. But this scripture really isn't talking about that. It would apply to that. If you read on and you look at the context of it and you look at what it was quoting in the Old Testament, you find out that He's talking about this life. And it goes on to say, but God, now It's, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You know, there's deep things of God that the world cannot understand. They won't understand it because they can't understand it. We understand as a man or a woman because we are people, aren't we? That's why we understand one another. We don't understand altogether the way a dog thinks, and a dog sure don't understand the way we think lots of times, do they? They can't because they don't have our mind. And you know, the scriptures here plainly tell us some things about the mind of God. I want to read it. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? He can't. There's no way. The way we understand as a man is because we all have the same mind, don't we? We all have the same spirit from given to us by God. Save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I want to think about that a little bit this morning. The Lord wants us to know a little of his mind about the things that are freely given to us of God. He says here, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. You know what this tells us? No matter how wise a person is in this life and in this human body, there's no way they can understand the things of the Spirit of God unless they have the Spirit of God. It's not going to happen. It can't happen because they don't have the same mind. They don't have the same spirit. Now, they can understand some of the things that are written. They can read a lot of things, and they can come close, and the Lord can start working with them and give them understanding that they might be saved. But he says here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, Paul says. We have the mind of Christ. You know, I want to urge us this morning that we seek for the mind of Christ. Because there's a whole world there that the Lord wants to reveal to our hearts of righteousness and peace and joy and good works even in the Holy Ghost, isn't there? There's a whole world that the Lord wants to reveal to people. And so if we don't have the Spirit of the Lord, folks, we might do ourselves a favor to realize that. And to realize I may make some real misjudgments about what's good and what's not good. The world does it all the time, don't they? In their own ideas and mind, they say it's all right for same-sex marriages and things of that nature. That is something that is very repulsive to us, isn't it? Because we know the mind of the Lord. The things that are healthy and good and wise is in God's Word. And to be properly understood, we have to understand the mind of the Lord, don't we? And so, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so, you know, this morning, I believe probably this was talking a lot about the Jews were there. They were throughout the known world there. And, you know, they didn't receive. They knew the Old Testament covenant and laws and all those things that they had to do and all those rituals and all those. They knew that. And these things didn't mean much to them because the things of God, the things that Jesus brought, the very things that fulfilled all that law, the things of the temple that were made with hands, he wanted to fulfill without hands, didn't he? He wanted the song to be in the heart. He wanted the music to be in the soul. And so that's something that only God can do, isn't it? But when it happens, somebody said, a song used to say, "I ought to know because I was there." You know, what happened in their soul? Those are things of divine revelation. Peter had some revelations from the Lord, didn't he? And so when the Lord said a lot of people were going away because of some things he said, and they didn't understand them, they were going away. And he said, "Will you also go away?" And he said, "Well, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." And, you know, those things are very precious to us, aren't they? The Lord told him at one time, he said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you." And so I know we're not going to maybe talk about some of the things you may be already thinking we are this morning, but I just want to read a little of the mind of God and open our hearts and minds to realize the earnest, loving, coveting of your soul and affections that God has this morning. The mind of the Lord toward his people. Listen to this that Peter wrote by inspiration. Now, 1 Peter 2 and 9, and look at the language here that Peter uses. And let's begin, let's ask the Lord, "Lord, reveal yourself to me a little deeper this morning." He says here, "But ye are a chosen generation." You're a chosen generation. Did you know the Lord has looked upon us and he's seen us, he's heard our cries, and he's chosen to love us? He's chosen to forgive all that come to him. The Lord has chosen to do that, hasn't he? A royal priesthood. You know, the priest used to offer the sacrifices, didn't they? You know, it speaks in the New Testament about spiritual sacrifices being offered up to the Lord. Well, we don't offer the blood of bulls and goats. They mean nothing compared to the blood of Jesus, do they? And so he says, "You're a royal priesthood." That's the way God looks at us today. Did you know the Lord looks at you as a royal priesthood? He looks at us and holy nation, a holy nation, a nation devoted to God, a nation clean before God. He says, "A peculiar people." That's not a weird people. Folks, we're not weird people. The Lord doesn't want us to be weird. He wants us to be different. A peculiar people, a people that's set apart, a people that is special. Look the word up and it includes the word special. Did you know that we are a special people to the Lord? Do you know that all God's people, everyone that has repented of their sins and been saved and departed from iniquity and all those things, they are special to the Lord. And the Lord is special to them this morning. Oh Lord, enlarge our hearts this morning to take in that we are special to the Lord. You are special to the Lord. We are not coming to the Lord as if he doesn't want to hear us. We are coming to one that we are very special and dear to this morning. "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God." Listen to what he calls us, the people of God. "Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Oh, thank the Lord this morning. Let's look over. I'm going to bounce around to a lot of scriptures this morning. So get your pencil ready if you want to take them down. Ephesians 2 and 19. "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation." You know, you're fellow citizens with all the saints of God. That word just, and it interchanges actually in the translation with holy. He says, you are fellow citizens with all the holy people of God. And he says here, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Do you know that he says you're builded together for a holy temple, for a habitation of God through the Spirit? We don't adorn our buildings as some great temple, do we? We're told not to do that in the New Testament. But we're told that he dwells not in temples made with hands. But he says that ye are the temple of God. And folks, he says that together, that we are builded together for a temple, a holy temple, an habitation of God. Do you know that that ought to affect us this morning? We're not an island, and we're not a loner. We are part of a greater body, aren't we? Oh, the Lord wants our life to be part of a greater body. He wants us to feel a part. He wants us to be a part. He wants us to intentionally be a part of this greater of the body of Christ. And particularly in this congregation, I want to encourage us this morning. Do you know that we are to lean on one another? You know God loves that. You know he made that for our benefit. And do you know that he loves us and wants us to lean on him? He wants us to recognize how much he loves us. And so he calls us a building of God, doesn't he? It's a beautiful thing, and how the Lord wants to be in the midst. How he wants to inhabit, for an habitation of God, a place where God dwells. He wants that to be the case. And so when we come together, let's recognize, Lord, make us a habitation of God here. Make us to have fellowship in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of godliness and holiness. Lord, in the spirit of worship to you, make us to be one. Is that okay this morning? Oh, the Lord. He wants, in whom, he says, all the building fitly. I love the words, the descriptive language of the New Testament. Whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. You know, he tells us that we're the planting of the Lord. This is in Isaiah 61 and 3. I know we're giving us a lot of scriptures to think about this morning. You could meditate on every one of these in your own time. Thinking about what God has given to us. Listen to this. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Well, let's start a verse up. The Lord had said in the first verse, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Do you remember who repeated that? This is Isaiah 61, hundreds of years before Christ. But Christ got up and he said, this day, this is fulfilled in your ears, didn't he? And he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Listen to what the mind of God is telling us. This is what he loves to do. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Do you know he wants to trade us for some things? He wants to take our mourning to give unto them beauty for ashes. You ever thought about that? You ever seen somebody trade ashes in and get something beautiful back? That's what God said he'd do. That's the trade he wants to make with us. Our mourning, our mournful spirit, our sighing, our heaviness. He wants us to trade it in. Not because we in ourselves can be anything, but folks, the grace of God that brought salvation from heaven is real and it's powerful. It's life-changing and it's truth this morning. And so he said, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. I have found that the Lord wants to trade us out, not because He makes circumstances change, but because He changes us in the circumstances. He wants to change our heart. Maybe we have all the reason in the world to mourn and be mournful and sigh and be heavy all the time. But I want to tell you, the 1 John 1 and 5, that's my favorite scripture, I believe, in the Bible. And it tells us here that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. When we have dark things in our life, folks, we need to come to the Lord. When He shines His light upon them, there is no darkness left. The Lord wants to give us light for darkness. He wants to change our world within our hearts this morning. God wants to do that. He wants to change us from a bitter, angry person to somebody that has love and desire and something strong within. God, only God can do those things, can't He? But He can. Otherwise, we spend our lives trying to improve ourselves. But God can change us, folks. And I'm not saying this, folks, to condemn anybody. I want to tell you something. God has some good things. I want to look into His mind a little bit this morning. Lord, what have You told us? What's Your mind to us this morning? Let's look to Him today. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Folks, that's what glorifies God, is when people see within us something that is unhuman, unnatural. Not natural for people in certain times of life and things, to be able to find the grace that this is talking about here. Oh, the Lord, help us today and give us of His thoughts and give us of His graces and His strength. Listen to what He says over in Hebrews 8 and 10. Haven't we heard this verse a lot of times? It's a verse that I love personally. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their mind. Where did the Lord put the laws in the Old Testament time? On stone tablets. They could be shattered. Moses got angry and threw them down. And God had to rewrite them, didn't He? You know, the Lord wants to write them where they can't be thrown down. In our hearts. I will put My laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to Me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know Me from the least to the greatest. This morning, the temple of God was where He dwelt back there. But now He says, you are the temple of God. And He says, I'll make My covenant with you. He made His covenant back there with Abraham and with David and with Solomon and with different... You know, the Lord confirmed it all through the years, didn't He? But now you know who He wants to make His covenant with? With you and me. It's there for us if we open our hearts to it this morning. And they, for all shall know Me from the least to the greatest. You know, this morning, that doesn't leave anybody out. I want you to think about that this morning. Where do you feel like you're at on the spectrum of things? Maybe you do feel like you're the least. You're included. Just like the greatest, whoever that might be. Thank the Lord this morning. The scripture tells us, this is Matthew 23 and 8, but be not ye called rabbi. Don't be called master. Don't be called rabbi. Don't be lifted up. Don't allow people to lift you up. It's sinful. It's the flesh. But he says, for one is your master, even Christ. He's the one to lift up, isn't he? And all ye are brethren. That's beautiful. But didn't he say something about us being his brother as well? And heirs together with Christ? That's the mind of the Lord this morning. Yes, he is high, though he is mighty, though he is high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. I want to tell you this morning, I think sometimes we forget. and we struggle and we work and we... Folks, God loves you and me this morning. And he longs, oh how he longs. All the things we've been reading about. He longs to pour out his graces in our heart. He really does. It's the mind of God. We're reading it right out of the scriptures. We're not making this up, are we? You know, there's some special privileges to being one of God's children. A lot of special privileges. Do you know one of them is? Galatians 6 and 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That's pretty good, isn't it? Especially unto them who are the household of faith. You know, that tells us something. You know, the Lord wants us to pay attention to those without. But he says, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto those that are of the household of faith. You know, the Lord wants us to have this mind toward each other. Did you know that's a beautiful thing? That God wants us to have this mind toward each other? But you know the problem with people, with us as people? I'm just saying all peoples. We're people, aren't we? We get hurt. We draw back. We draw aside. And the Lord said, that's the difference. That's the way people are going to know you're my people. Because you don't do that. You have love one to another. And people will know that you're my disciples by that particular thing. So let's break down any barriers that would arise in our hearts. Well, yeah, but they did such and such 25 years ago. You know what, folks? I know we have a lot of love in this congregation. I know that. And I love that. And I see it all the time. But I will tell you, let's capitalize on this thing. This is of God. Let's love one another. Let's especially love the brethren. Let's make sure we do that. Let's especially do good to the brethren and take care of them. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 7 and get the mind of God way back there. 7 and 6. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers. Do you know we're still under the Lord keeping that oath to the children of Abraham? But see, it's fulfilled in our time. Did you know we're children of Abraham too? We're children of the promise. We're children of those that believe, that have faith in God, and that obey him as Abraham did. Because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Jesus still says, if you love me, keep my commandments, doesn't he? He's very interested in those that love him enough to serve him and to obey him. And so this morning, it's not a surface thing, is it? It's very deep in our lives. It's very deep in our hearts. It's deep in the way we live. We want to obey Him. We want to serve Him. We want to love Him. We want to understand His love to us this morning. And He has that for us. In Exodus 3 and 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt." You know, Egypt was a symbol of something, wasn't it? When you look back and see how God delivered His people from Egypt, it's the way He delivers them from sin today, isn't it? And He has a land to take them into. Listen to this. "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." There's a lot of sorrows with sin. The more sin we have, the greater the sorrow. It just is that way. Period. It is that way. And God wants to come down there and deliver us from that. I can't think of one sin that helps people in their lives. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. I want to tell you, the Lord took those people, and they weren't real obedient. But the Lord took them, and He loved them. He took them around in the wilderness. They never got to experience what God wanted them to experience. But they went around in the wilderness, didn't they? They for 40 years, their sandals never got old, did they? They were still good after 40 years. That's what God did for them. They had manna when there was nothing to eat. They had manna all that time. The Lord led them, didn't He, with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. God loved them. Folks, God loves us today, every one of us. He wants to lead us out of the land of Egypt, and He wants to take us to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's His words. It has meaning. That was something that symbolized something in the New Testament, where God wanted to bring His people into a full relationship with Him, filled with the Spirit, crossing into the land of Canaan over the Jordan River. And we see how God wants to lead His people and give them those strongholds that they would not have a chance of taking. Can you imagine when the children of Israel crossed that Jordan River and they saw the great and high walls around Jericho? Now, they had seen enough miracles that maybe they knew by then God can do this. But it looked daunting, didn't it? You know, there's things in our lives that look daunting. How would we ever overcome? How could we ever really capture that place? But you know what? God sent somebody along, didn't He? And looked to me like the Lord. He said, "As captain of the Lord's host, I am come." Joshua fell down at His feet, and He told him, "I want you to walk around this city. God wants you to walk around this city once every day, and nobody say a thing. On the seventh day, you walk around it seven times, and when the trumpets blow," is that right? "The walls are going to fall down." You know, that's just what happened. That's a pretty unorthodox way of overcoming a major obstacle, isn't it? God's like that, folks. That's His mind. That's His mind toward us. He doesn't see those things as big obstacles. He sees them. Joshua got a hold of it, and Caleb, "These people are food for us. What do you mean? Why are you afraid of them? God is with us. Folks, God wants to be in your life. And He wants to overcome those places that could not be overcome any other way except God. God came down and gave the direction. And here was this man showed up. He had a sword drawn. Here Joshua was. He saw him. He fell down at his feet. You know, are you for us or are you for the enemy? God does that, doesn't He, this morning? I just want to encourage our hearts today. Folks, the Lord wants to be in our temple. He wants to be that everlasting God that He has always been. He wants to fight our battles. When we pass through difficulties, He wants to take care of us this morning. I want to read in Isaiah 43. I'm going to turn there. Isaiah had so many things to say, didn't he, that we treasure and value today. He told about things before it ever came to pass. But listen to what he says here. Isaiah 43 and 1. He says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob." Who's Jacob? That's his people, isn't it? "Thus saith the Lord that hath created thee, and he hath formed, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I've bought you back. I've redeemed you. I've done something mighty in you. You're not in Egypt anymore. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel." This is my mind toward you, my people. "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." I want to tell you this morning, we are in life just like everyone else is. We experience hard and difficult things. Many times not like the world, because we don't suffer the results of the sins of the world. And we're very blessed in that. But we suffer a lot of things. This body is going to come to death because of sin. When you see somebody suffering, another minister told me this one time, and I've got a hold of that. When you see suffering in this world, just remember how much God hates sin. That sentence passed upon our bodies. Our soul will be saved eternally. We'll have a new body, won't we? We'll have a new life, won't we? Thank the Lord today. But this body has a sentence upon it, and we are all going to die. They're not going to get enough advancements that we're going to live forever, folks. Not going to happen. But He promised us that when you pass through the waters and through the fire, water's not going to overflow you. Did you know that you can come to the Lord with that? The saying is, you can take that to the bank. Folks, listen, you can put that in your bank. You can put that in your vault. You can know, they won't overflow me. My part is to stay with God. My part is to believe. My part is to live for Him, to be obedient to Him, to search after God as the number one thing in my life, and everything else after that. And I believe with no question God will honor His word this morning. The three Hebrew children are not the only folks that's walked through fire. It may be literal fire. But I want to tell you, sometimes we're going to go through the fire too. But He said, it's not going to kindle upon you. Nebuchadnezzar was so amazed. There's four people walking around down there. One looks like the Son of God. How did he know there was a Son of God? There's a real revelation when you see God start working, isn't there? Jesus said, John 14, the Lord wanted a people, see, that would love him in return. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you know what else Jesus said? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine Jesus building something for us and being gone 2,000 years? Folks, I want to tell you, I think it's probably going to be pretty good. In John 14 and 2, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, the Lord wants his people to take courage. The Lord wants us to know deep in our hearts that God's going to take care of us. He didn't ever promise that this body is not going to suffer. I will tell you that. He never promised that. But many times doesn't he heal us? I can't tell you how many times he's healed in our own family, and I know many others. I want to tell you, God does that. I've seen it happen with my eyes. I've seen it happen instantly a number of times. I want to tell you, the Lord loves his people. Sometimes he lets us suffer a while, doesn't he? And it has a purging effect, doesn't it? We start really drawing nigh. Lord, have mercy upon us. We start humbling ourselves in ways we normally don't. You know, God tenderly speaks of his church, of his people, as his bride. Now, there isn't hardly any more tender place. You know, I know there's little babies and little children and all, but there's something really special about a wedding and a bride and a groom. You know, God speaks of his people like that. Revelation 21, listen to what this says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus is projecting out there a little ways, isn't he? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And in Hebrews, he tells us, 12th chapter, but ye are coming to Mount Zion. You see all these things. There's a part of that bride over there and part of it still here, isn't there? That is getting ready for that wedding, the consummation of that wedding. But ye are coming to Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is talking about now. You're coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh, I love that this morning. The Lord is looking on his people. He's thinking about you and me. From the least to the greatest. We're all just brethren, aren't we? But Jesus was trying to bring something out. The Lord was in his word. From the least to the greatest. However you feel, I'm the least. I'm the least of the least. You're still there. God still loves you. He still is looking to fulfill all his commandments to you this morning. All of them. He still wants to be real in your life. He still wants to deliver us. He still wants to bless his people this morning. Oh, we read over here in a song we have in our book, number 22 by D.O. Teasley. To Jerusalem the new, come the tried and faithful few, back to Zion's golden glory once again. Highest praise our tongues employ with the everlasting joy. Now 1,000 voices swell the glad refrain. Jerusalem, 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 O Jerusalem, blessed city where no darkness ever falls. Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, joy and peace forever be within thy walls. I want to tell you, we used to sing that a lot when I was young, as I remember. And you know, there is a heavenly Jerusalem today. God doesn't want us to feel like we're an island, folks. Don't let yourself be an island. Don't let yourself be just off to yourself completely. Remember that God has a habitation through the Spirit for all His people to come together and be a part of and benefit from one another and bless one another. You know what? He wants us to do both, doesn't He? Oh, I appreciate the Lord this morning. Paul was speaking in Ephesians 5. He was speaking about marriage and you know, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And he goes on, before no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. This is a great mystery, dropping on down. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Oh, the Lord has fond thoughts this morning. And I pray, God, that we, every one of us, will determine in our hearts that I am going to be the recipient of what God has, a full recipient. I'm not going to let it go half-hearted. I'm not going to let it go where I hardly know of it. Folks, the Lord wants you and I to have a full cup that runs over. You believe that? He wants it to run over and bless other people. Oh, the Lord bless us today, folks. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You see how that all ties together? The whole family. Part of it's departed. Those that we have known that have passed on, went to be with the Lord, they're in heaven, but they're part of a family that we're part of a family of. You realize that this morning? You realize the heavenly singing that they're doing up there? We partake of a little here, don't we? And we get the earnest of the inheritance. Maybe it is just the down payment. Folks, the real full cup is coming. Oh, let's be faithful today. Let's let God meld us and weld us and intertwine our hearts in Him. Let's look at the promises of God as Caleb did. When he went in that land and they took all those areas and they were pretty well at a stopping place. And you know what he went to Joshua and said? Now Moses promised me this mountain. Now give me this mountain. He said, what did he say? It was 85 at that time, I believe. 85. And he said, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. You know what, folks? The Lord wants some folks that's been around a while, all of us, to not look at our age, but to realize God promised these things. And it's not just for the young convert. It's His Spirit. It's His promise. It's His ways. It's His body. It's His church. You know, He tells us to come out of other things, places where sin is. Well, anyway, the Lord wants His people to be a separate people, to be a people unto Him, unto God. And that means us here, to be a people separated unto God, holy unto the Lord, living with all of our hearts. You know what? There's other peoples across the world we trust. I mean, we know there are. You know what? Everywhere the name of Christ is named, in truth, righteousness, and holiness, people have been saved and depart from sin. They're part of it. Did you know that? It's beautiful this morning. Let our hearts be enlarged. Oh, Lord, live in us today. Enlarge my heart to take in the promises of God. Let me no longer hang my head, because God has something better than that. You pray for me.